Well, hello. We're here with session 12, the last of this course, and we've gone through a lot, and we hope that this has been very insightful and encouraging to you wherever you are in this process, but we're not quite done yet. We've got another very important topic.
When you come into leadership in a church, particularly in something like the deacons, it is vitally important nowadays. This is 2024, near the end of the year that we are doing this. There is one area of the church that is in crisis, and you probably see it in your church if you look. Sometimes it's you don't see it because you don't look with the right eyes. I remember one of the consultants to whom I'm deeply indebted, Tom Rayner, said that his hardest job is when he goes into a church to make people realize reality. He said, because they're so ingrained, he says, when I tell them how bad it is, and I show them a graph of their church membership and their church attendance over the last 10 years, and they say, we didn't know it was that bad because, well, there are a few pews are emptier than they used to be, but they don't want to see. Well, when it comes to the younger generations here in the United States and elsewhere, in some places, if you're in Europe, you've got to know that right now the younger generations, up to about 25, 30, only 1% attend church on a regular basis. And the United States is heading that way, and whatever country you're in, know that this is an issue. And so we're going to talk about the ministry of deacons and looking at how do you bring a generation along with you. Okay, so that's the topic for today. Here's a picture of a Gen Zer, and pretty typical. He's on his phone. He's got the AirPod. Well, actually, this one's wired, which is so this is out of date itself.
Right. Yeah. Wait a minute. This might not be
I didn't even notice that when I chose it. But he's looking at his phone. Church may be in the background, but it's not in the foreground for him. He's busy. He's distracted. Now, if you're not aware of generations, here's the general breakdown for generations. The silent generations are those people who were born before the end of World War II. They're now, in their late 70s to 100 years old. Baby boomers, that's my generation, 1946 to 64 born, and we're about that age. Gen X, my kids are 45 to 59 years old now. Millennials, their kids are 28 to 43. Gen Z is 12 to 27 years old. And then Generation Alpha, it's being called now.
Gen Z is my generation.
Anyway, when you look at millennials, 28 and Gen Z, they are leaving the church in unprecedented numbers. For instance, 70% are dropping out of church.
Yeah, that number has to be sombering for you. And it's sombering for me as I look at, again, a huge portion. This is my generation right now leaving the church. And it's, again, it's sad. And I know many of my friends who have actually been this kind of scenario where I was friends with them in high school, they maybe attended church, were in their faith, and then went to college, started their careers, and they're not attending church.
Yeah, right. Some of the reasons that... here's the breakdown. 1 out of 9 lose faith in Christianity. 4 out of 10 leave the church, but still call themselves Christian. In other words, sometimes in the United States, where we are listed as a Christian church or Christian nation, they become cultural Christians in the sense that they might attend on New Year, Christmas and Thanksgiving, Christmas and
Easter,
some other holiday. Yeah. Easter would be the other one. Yes, I remember my wife. I had a supervisor when we lived in California, and it was getting to be one of those holidays, so my wife starts talking to her, and opportunity to share and invite her to one of our holiday services, of which we had many, and she said, oh, what church is that? And she named our church. She said, oh, that's my church.
Oh.
And she attended twice a year, but we were her church. but she had dropped out, but was still a cultural Christian, not engaged within the spiritual right. growth of the church.
Well, it kind of shows, like, again, a huge portion of these are still, you know, again, identifying themselves even as Christians. So there is a huge opportunity to re-engage them with the church.
Right. 2 out of 10, disconnect and express frustration about church culture. And, sometimes they disconnect from society. 3 out of 10, stay involved in church. Now, when you look at the reasons they give, here's the top ones. I moved to college, stopped attending. Church members seem judgmental or hypocritical. I didn't connect to people in my church, 29%.
Mm-hmm.
I disagreed with the church's stance on political or social issues, 25%. Or my work responsibilities prevented me from attending, 24%. Just look at that for a moment. These are the people who have left, and this is what they're looking at.
I can relate to that, because for a while, like, I kind of had, when I was younger, being obviously the, you know, pastor's kid, mm-hmm. I was always so connected with the church. And so moving to Michigan, it was very difficult to go from, I know everybody in this church, I feel super connected, to, like, coming and entering a church where there's hundreds upon mm-hmm. hundreds of people, I have no idea who they are. And mm-hmm. I kept just not feeling that connection. And so seeing, again, that large portion of people who just don't feel connected. And then even the people who moved and stopped attending, to some extent, they didn't have a desire to get newly connected because they right. really weren't feeling connected, in my opinion, before.
Yeah. So this is huge. We're talking 70% of the next generation, which, I forget who said it, but the person was wise who did, said the church is always just one generation from disappearing. And that's your church. I was reading just this past week that by the year 2030 in the United States, there will be 100,000 church buildings that need to be repurposed.
Mm.
Now, think of that. 100,000, because the next generation is leaving. The generation that's there is getting older. And as a result, eventually, as the numbers shrink, they can't afford to do ministry anymore. So, what I want to look at with you is some research that's been done recently by Lifeway Research. They're a group that I consider, about the kinds of churches that retain and attract people, and young people, and generation millennial and Gen Z. So, let's look. Okay, 10 characteristics of churches that keep young adults. And this is from Discipleship and Evangelism, February 24, 2021. Now, that was during COVID, you'll notice. And but they did this as a broader kind of examination to say, what kind of churches? Because it was happening before that, and certainly been happening after, only at an increased rate. So, first characteristic. Sincere. 24% who left the church saw it as insincere. 17% of those who stayed said it's sincere. So genuineness and honesty, the things we talked about with finances, yeah. the thing we talked about with life, that's got to characterize your church.
Right.
Where there's a value on the truth, even if it's painful at times. You know, those generations, the next generation is more attracted to truth, even if it's hard truth, than mm-hmm. the sense that something's being covered up.
Yeah.
And when that happens, they're out. They're gone. It's time to disappear. Ooh, sincere. Now, we talked in the first session about the word sincere. It means without wax, that cover-up of, you know,
yeah.
and that they would do with statues. If the next generation finds that you've been covering stuff up, they'll be gone. Secondly, avoid hypocrisy. 41% of those who left said they thought the church was hypocritical. Now, the word hypocrisy, an interesting one, the translation means to speak from under a mask. Now, back in Bible times, when they had actors on stage, in my retirement, I've been doing some acting, but back then, in order to change characters, in this last play I was in Shakespeare's Macbeth, and You know, Act 1, I was the king, and Act 5, I had to come back to the doctor because we didn't have enough people. And so, to do that, I just changed outfits. Well, in a Greek theater, you would change masks. Mm. And so acting was to speak from under a mask, to play a role, to pretend. And again, we're talking about 41% of those who have left the church say they left because they sensed it was hypocritical. People were not acting out the faith that they proclaimed.
And I think this, as we've talked about, even the devil's traps and schemes, mm-hmm. this is a big one. You know, that trap of falling into hypocrisy, I think it is, as we even see in the Bible, I just think again and again, one of the biggest things that Jesus is addressing again and again is the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so it just shows how easy that can creep into an establishment like a church and for leaders. And so it's not surprising to some extent to see that that is a huge reason why people leave.
Yeah. Number three. Authentic. 60% of those who stayed said the people in this church are authentic. Now, this is the opposite, basically, of hypocrisy, in that you trust these people. They come off as, you know, not just separated, divided, but that they are authentic. They're living their life. They're exhibiting the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness.
They're putting their faith into action. It goes back to that verse of a faith that doesn't bear that fruit is a dead faith.
And this really hits your role as a deacon. Because where is authenticity most seen? It's going to be seen in how your church cares about the people in your church and community. And, you know, are you sacrificing to make sure these people are cared for and that you care about the world?
Are you making that a priority? Right. Are you being authentic in that?
Yeah. So, authentic. Supportive. 23% of those who stayed felt the church was supportive. 36% of those who dropped out said, no, they're not supportive. Now, supportive, what does that mean? One study about people who stayed said that a young adult, especially now we're talking about those who are going away to college, in order for them to be able to come back to church, they need 5 connections with people in your church. 5 people who've invested in them, who care about them, who check on them, who support them, who pray for them, who 5 people. And those who leave the church said, nah, we didn't feel supported at all there. Are they supportive of me and my dreams? Are they supportive of me and my faith? Are they? So, you know, as you think about deacons and you think about people in your church, next generation people in your church, make sure you are supportive. Next is non-judgmental. 49% of those who dropped out said the church is judgmental. In other words, look at people and right away we decide whether they're in or out. Or they decide whether they're good or bad.
Right. Judge them to show favoritism. You know, that's why you got that whole verse on make sure you're not favoring the rich.
Right. And in our society today, there are certain buzzwords and, I won't name them because it might be different by the time you read this. But you know that there are some societal places where the church as a whole, with a big C, people will say it's judgmental. And but do they experience that in your church? And if so, this is time for the leadership to say, how do we root this out? How do we deal with this? What are we dealing with people who are gossipers and say, oh, did you hear about so-and-so? And how are you going to address that in order to change the characteristic of your particular church? Now, the next one, forgiving. In other words, you don't have to be perfect. one of the most influential books I've ever read is written by a musician, which as being one I love that, but a 1970s musician named John Fisher wrote a book called 12 Steps for the Recovering Pharisee. And then in parentheses, it said, like me. And so he talked about the fact that, you know, that the church is known for looking down on people and judging. In fact, step one is to realize I love to judge other people. In fact, it's one of the most favorite things I do. I love to picture people as less than I am.
That's a definite characteristic and tendency of our sinful nature, yeah, is to right away make a judgment.
We want to do better about ourselves, so what we're going to do. But when people fail, what happens? That's a good indicator of whether it's a judgmental church or not. Another one of my favorite authors is a guy named Brennan Manning, who was an alcoholic Episcopal priest. And had a huge impact on people and a huge impact in my own life. But he would have periods where, you know, he did magnificent ministry and then he would end up having a falling again and he'd get drunk. And he said it was very different, the reaction of his church, than that of his Alcoholics Anonymous group. Mm. He said the church would say, what went wrong? You know, weren't you praying enough? Did you do enough?
Yeah, just avoiding? Right away judging what might have caused.
Right. And not a sense of forgiving and receiving again. Where he went to his AA group, and they're just kind of like, oh, okay, you're human.
Right, that's fine. Part of the journey. You're working through it. Yeah.
You fail. Can people fail in your church and be forgiven? Oftentimes, that's not true.
And I think creating a culture of that people feel like they can't fail, well, that's going to make people want to not tell the truth about something if they've gone wrong. It's going to make people not want to be authentic. It's going to make them not want to be these things that, again, encourage that authenticity, the sincerity.
Yep, you hide it. Now, you know, one of the most powerful moments with my mother, I didn't realize until 30 years after that. We in the church I went to, a young woman got pregnant, and she had to stand up before the congregation and confess her sin against the seventh commandment. And afterwards, you know, this woman was standing in the back of church, and everybody's avoiding her. Mm. And my mother, I was probably 8 years old at the time, my mother goes up to her, throws her arms around her, and looks around and says, looks like you and I are the only two sinners here. I didn't know until 30 years later that she was pregnant when she got married. And so she could be forgiving because she knew she was a sinner. And the only churches that can be forgiving are those who are made up of people who know they're sinners. Mm-hmm. And so this is a characteristic for deacons to be aware of. Next one is inspirational. And that is not that, you know, they have the right kind of music and that sort of thing, but that church members by their life are inspirational. I've shared so many people who've inspired me in churches mm-hmm. that I've served. 43% of those who stayed said there were people in the church that they admired and inspired them. 20% of those who dropped out said, no, they weren't those kind of people that I could look at and say, yeah, that's the kind of life I want to emulate.
Right, I
want to
be, yeah, they're an example, they're a role model.
Yeah, and so, you know, I pray for a young man every day because I was his mentor toward, in the church that I was serving, they had to choose a mentor before they made profession of faith to lead them through some studies and prayer and become one of those connections to the person later on. And, you know, that was one way to say, okay, I'm connected to you now and you to me. Now, I don't know if he admires me or not, but we were able to identify several people in the church that were admirable mm-hmm. as we talked about that in our studies. So, inspirational. Caring. 33% of those who left and 59% of those who stayed. 39% of those, 33% who left said, no, this church doesn't care about the people here. 59% mm-hmm. of those who stayed said, yes, they care.
Right.
And sometimes, you know, cared about me. Mm-hmm. The church I went to as a child up through the time I got married at the age of 22 cared about me. Financially supported me in my education. They provided education and programs for me. And yikes. I look back at them. I'm sad to say that church failed to exist, you know, 10 years after I left them. But, yeah, it was caring. Does your church care about people? You're a deacon, right? You're one of those who's the extension of Jesus' mercy and servants. Are you caring for that group of people? Welcoming. 37% of those who left said no. 65% of those who stayed said, yep, this place welcomes people like me. People in general. And unified. In other words, not cliquish. 45% of those said they never fit in with the right people. 27% of those who stayed said, yeah, the group is caring for each other in a large way. So, that's kind of tough list, but this is the kind of churches that keep young adults. So, your role is to pray for your church.
Mm-hmm.
To work for this kind of church.
Yep.
Identify younger adults you can invite into ministry.
Yeah, I think that's so important too, because I think that can be a struggle. Is yes, experience is so important in ministry, but it's so important that you're looking for people and identifying younger people, even if, you know, yeah, they're going to make mistakes, they're not going to have the experience, but they need to be invited into ministry, they need to be encouraged in ministry, and they need to be empowered, like Timothy was empowered, and we read about how he was very young. Don't let anyone look down on you because you're younger.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah, so who are those people in that generation that you can say, yeah, come along with me, you know, I'm going to be doing this. One of the churches I've served in retirement as part-time support to the pastor, he was hauling young people to the local rescue mission. And he would sit with them at tables with these people who were alcoholics, most of them drug addicted, and would care about them. And my goodness. And then he would invite people from Teen Challenge, which is known for, you know, young adults who are having problems. He would invite kids from the church to go he would invite these people to his church and then kids to the church to sit at tables with them to hear their story. And it was all an intention to say, this is part of our ministry to care about these people. You care too. Who are those people in your church that you can be thinking about? Well, we've come to the end. Abby, we hope this has been helpful to you. Again, Christian Leaders Institute has a plethora of courses that can help you grow in your ministry. But our hope and prayer for you is that as deacons, you will be making an impact. You will be spreading the love of Jesus Christ around your church and your ministry.
Right. You deacons have such an opportunity to really be the hands and feet of Jesus, and that's why that word deacon, being servant, and servant being just so key to what we're called to be as Christians. It's a call for all of us, and this deacon role is crucial. So, yeah, I've enjoyed so much digging into this, and even though I personally am not serving as a deacon right now, it is inspiring and motivating for me as a whole throughout my life to look at this and the church I'm attending to look at this and things like that. And so, yeah, we're so glad that you've been a part of this course. And we just pray that God really blesses you in whatever your next step is after taking this.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you. Blessings on you and your ministry. Ta-da!